The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Welcome dear viewers of Madani channel and today's topic the struggles that took place for Islam to reach where it is today and inshallah until the day of judgment and my dear viewers of Madani channel this topic is very important so that we can have value for our beautiful religion that even before the time of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how those who propagated the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were treated but more specifically today we will be looking at the time of the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the preaching of monotheism to in the world in such an era where shirk and kufr was vast and was widespread. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, stay tuned inshallah. We will hear many Madani pearls from our Muballigheen that we have today, mashallah. We have our Wasim bhai, we have Shahid bhai, and mashallah we have Faiz Rasool bhai going to bless us with beautiful kalams as well. Let us start by mentioning a virtue of Salat ala Nabi. The best of creation, the embodiment of Noor, the King of Medina, our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, Recite Salat upon me in abundance on the night of Friday and the day of Friday. For your Salat, your prayers of blessings reach me. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So let us start with the beautiful kalam and Na'at Sharif and we will request our Faiz Rasool bhai to bless us with this inshallah.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله كعبے کی رونق کعبے کا منظر کعبے
اللہ اکبر اللہ
سے خود کو کبھی دیکھتا ہوں اور دیکھتا ہوں کبھی میں حرم کو حیرت سے خود کو کبھی دیکھتا ہوں اور دیکھتا ہوں کبھی میں حرم کو لایا کہاں مجھ کو میرا مقدر لایا کہاں مجھ کو میرا مقدر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر کعبے کی رونق کعبے کا منظر کعبے کی رونق کعبے کا منظر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر تیرے حرم کی کیا بات مولا تیرے کرم کی کیا بات مولا تیرے حرم کی کیا بات مولا تیرے کرم کی کیا بات مولا تا عمر لکھ دے آنا مقدر تا عمر لکھ دے آنا مقدر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر کعبے کی رونق کعبے کا منظر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر مانگی ہے میں نے جتنی دعائیں منظور ہوں گی وہ مقبول ہوں گی مانگی ہے میں نے جتنی دعائیں منظور ہوں گی وہ مقبول ہوں گی میزاب رحمت ہے میرے سر پر میزاب رحمت ہے میرے سر پر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر مولا سبھی اور کیا چاہتا ہے بس مغفرت کی عطا چاہتا ہے مولا سبھی اور کیا چاہتا ہے بس مغفرت کی عطا چاہتا ہے بخشش کے طالب پہ اپنا کرم کر بخشش کے طالب پہ اپنا کرم کر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر کعبے کی رونق کعبے کا منظر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر دیکھوں تو دیکھے جاؤں برابر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر
اللہ سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ When a person visits the sacred lands, especially Holy Kaaba Sharif, he is taken aback of how have I even reached here?
Allah.
I'm not even worthy of being in these sacred lands. This is truly the grace of Allah. May Allah bless us all with the call to these sacred lands time and time again within our lives. Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, today's topic, struggles for Islam. And this is a very powerful topic in this aspect that do we as Muslims today, first and foremost, do we struggle for Islam? How far have we come away from the prophetic teachings? When we look at the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is what we will be looking and focusing on today, the prophetic life, in which we will find how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much difficulty him and the companions alayhum ridwan went through just to protect the message of Islam. How much did the prophetic household go through after the apparent demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the famous incident of Karbala. And then throughout the ages until the present day and age, where we have Islam in its true form. My dear viewers of Madani channel, we must reflect over the struggles for Islam so that we can have value for our deen. So we can understand that it is not all going to be plain sailing, nice and calm. But rather we are going to face difficulties within our lives. We are going to go through different types of tests. Different things in creation are going to test our iman, are going to test our faith. And we as Muslims need to reflect on the previous and our predecessors, our pious predecessors, the pious people of Allah, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon, the early forecomers who came and taught us about the message of Islam and how much sacrifices they had and they made for Islam. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, I would like to go to our first Muballigh of Da'at Islami, Waseem Bhai, inshallah, and give the Muballighs more time to mention their points, inshallah, and then I will expand later on. So we'll go to Waseem Bhai. Ji Waseem Bhai, today's topic, struggle for Islam. Today, if we just think, how do we even struggle for Islam, and what? How would you like to begin this particular topic?
First of all, Bilal Bhai, 14 years, there's one thing that we see constantly, struggle for Islam. And you could say that many of us are Muslims today in the subcontinent because someone made sacrifice. These sacrifices took place, and this is why we are Muslims. This is why 1400 years later, alhamdulillah, we've got so many books, so many hadiths of the Prophet ﷺ that have reached us. Why? Because they made sacrifices. And Bilal Bhai, normally it's common in Dawat Islami that normally when we do the ishtimaat, when we do the speeches, after the khutbah, after reciting Durood-e Pak, we normally mention a waqia of reciting Durood-e Pak, a parable or a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak. And that's something that I would like to begin with, because this particular parable that I would like to mention has a connection with today's topic as well. It's mentioned that one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ikram, they were traveling somewhere, and there were many Sahaba ikram with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they stopped at one particular place. An announcement was made that, look, make wudu, and it was also the time to eat as well. Now, as the Sahaba ikram made wudu, when they opened their, in other words, their lunch boxes to eat something, it's mentioned they had chapati, but they had no salam, they had no curry at all. What happened next? None of them complained. Then what happened after a short while, Bilal Shabir Bhai, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting, and a honeybee, you know, the unique sound of a honeybee, it started buzzing next to the blessed ears of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now look at the belief of the Sahaba ikram, look at the aqidah of the Sahaba ikram. The one Sahabi says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah, what is this bee saying to you? Look at their belief, look at their aqidah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they believe that, it's our belief that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understands all languages. And it's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that, that this bee came to me, and this bee said to me that, look, we have observed that your companions, they have got chapati, but they have got no salam. And we have observed this. Ya Rasulullah, nearby is our nest. And Ya Rasulullah, we have got honeycomb, but we are too weak to bring this to you. We are too weak to bring this to the Sahaba Ikram. So this honeybee said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, send one of your companions with us. Who is saying this? Be saying this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, send one of your companions, they can bring this, and then your Sahaba Ikram, at least with their chapati, they can eat something with it. So it's mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Look, imagine, just imagine it. The Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, on the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is following the bees. He gets the honeycomb and he brings it back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Sahaba ikram, then at least they had something to eat with. This shows, I'll come on to this later on regarding the sacrifice and the. But next, what happened is, after a short period of time, either the same bee or another bee, it came back again, that unique sound, the buzzing sound. The Sahaba ikram asked again, Ya Rasulullah, what is this bee saying to you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, I asked this bee that, how is honey produced? You know, you make honey, how is this produced? So they go like, we suck the nectar, etc. We bring it back, etc. So he mentioned the whole process. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that sometimes you go to flowers, they are sour, they got bitterness. So what happens with that? Now listen to the response. This will also encourage us to recite through the path. This we say that no doubt we go to some flowers, we go to some places, and it's quite bitter as well. But Ya Rasulullah, what happens is when we are returning back to our nest, our chief, the person, the honeybee that is actually leading us, this makes an announcement to recite through the park upon you, O Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The leader is also reciting through the park, and we are also reciting through the park. And it's our belief that because we are reciting through the park, if there is any sourness in the honey, this will also become sweet because we have recited through the park upon you. So there's some beautiful lessons that we learn from this. That first of all, how is honey made? How this whole particular process is so sweet as well. We have learned today why it's so sweet. Is because those particular bees are reciting through their back upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the ulama ikram Bilal Shabir Bhai actually mentioned this as well, that the doctors, they recommend using honey as a cure to many diseases as well. Now one thing that I would like to mention here, first of all, to encourage us to recite through their back, that even the animals, even the bees are reciting through their back. So this is a lesson for all of us. But the point that I would like to return to now is the sahaba ikram, they were traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a journey. Look at their travel. Today when we are traveling, you know, the first things that we look at, we're going by flight, Bilal Shabir Bhai, what's on the menu? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be serving in the plane? You know, you're looking at ways, this is something that we look forward to. If we're traveling somewhere, for example, to another part of the country, we're looking which service station am I going to stop on? What are we going to eat? That's the main point of our agenda when we are traveling. But the Sahaba Ikram, this was their level of traveling. That they were traveling, they had chapatis, but they had no curry at all. And what did they do? They never complained. They continued on. They continued to eat, and then later on the honey came, but they continued to eat without anything. But today what happens? Any problem comes. For example, we are traveling in the way of Allah. We go to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. We go maybe to perform wudu. The water is cold. We start complaining. This is a lesson for all of us. Inshallah, in today's program, inshallah, shared by myself, the brothers, we will continue to mention many parables. One important thing that we learn from this particular narration is, look, they continued whatever they came their way, they continued their particular journey. They continued to spread Islam. Today, any small difficulty comes. Today, we go to the masjid. There's a small problem in the masjid. Maybe the vote is called. I'm not going next time. This is the level. Meaning, this is our belief today. So, this is a point to learn as well. The Sahaba Ikram, they never returned from their mission. They continued with their mission. And this is something that we need to do as well. We need to make sacrifices. Small, problems will come. Amir Sunnah Dhamma Prakatum Ali, a very long time ago, he mentioned this beautifully as well. These problems that come, they don't come to lower you, they come to make you stronger. Right. And you know, you meet people as well, you know, they went through so much problems. But what do you learn from them? They are strong people. Because their problems have made them strong people. So this is something that if problems do come our way, and especially in the way of being, they can, like you mentioned beautifully as well, that we will be tested. We will definitely be tested. It's mentioned in Surah Baqarah as well. We will continue to be tested. But it's how we face that examination, how we respond at the time of that examination that really counts as well.
MashaAllah, Wasila, very good points, and I feel like this is how we can further continue this particular topic where the Sahaba Ikram struggle for Islam. The way that the Sahaba Ikram did not really look at their provisions. If you look at even going on expeditions with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not even really tend and even care about having weaponry with them to protect themselves and to fight against the oppression and the persecution of the disbelievers against the Muslims. So this shows their firm belief in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their trust in the Prophet of Allah. And this is something that we need to again try to, we need to kind of revive within ourselves. We need to further kindle within ourselves is that fire of Iman, that love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one beautiful way, like Wasim Bhai mentioned, is Durood-e Pak. Nishad Bhai, how would you like to bring about this topic today of struggles for Islam?
MashaAllah, Bilal Bhai, a beautiful topic. First of all, Wasim Bhai has given beautiful Madani pearls on this aspect. Just, Levi, we look at our current situation, for example. Today, we don't have any difficulty at all. We live in this country, we have no problems at all practicing our deen. But if we look at our Prophet of Islam, when the religion first came, in fact, when the Prophet ﷺ announced prophethood, the difficulties and problems they went through, it was so difficult for them, that they were being persecuted, they were being stopped from practicing, announcing the religion of Allah Almighty. But yet they didn't give up. They continued to pass the message of deen throughout, and one by one they spread the deen as it is. Today, when we are to go on a Madani Kafla, for example, we have 101 excuses. I've got this to do, how am I going to do this, how am I going to do that? But yet, we don't have a problem at all. The main struggles and problems, Bilal Bhai, was the prophets, the companions, and then we look at the incident of Imam Hussain. These are the personalities who actually went through difficulty, went through problems and struggles, and today we have the deen as it is, and it's easy for us as well.
Yeah.
Whether it's summer, whether it's winter, in summer we have facilitated cold water to do wudu. In winter we have warm water, so there's no problem for us at all in this aspect. But yet, our inner self is that we are weak in our inner self to do what we need to do. Remember, there's three types of people who deal with these problems and struggling with these things. The first group of people are those who don't get worried. When they face a problem, any difficulty, they don't get worried. They actually don't become nervous. They control themselves, they know what is right, and then they will deal with the issue, especially if it's in the way of Islam. They know that this is what Islam teaches, they need to deal with it. Second type of people, Bilal Bhai, are those who will get worried at sometimes, thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to face this difficulty, that difficulty? How am I going to come past this problem? And when they begin to worry a bit, they may cause themselves a problem, or they may cause others a problem, but yet they will still give you a try and continue with it. Third type of people, Bilal Bhai, are those who will hear about a problem, and they just put their hands up, oh, how am I going to do this? I can't do this. I can't get up and do this. For example, if someone is to ask to get up in the middle of in the early morning for Fajr Namaz, and there's no facility for hot water, or for example, nowadays we got water in our houses. In the olden days, when our elders came to this country, there was no facility of hot water. They actually used to go out, get coal, get wood, heat things up, and then do things. Those are the struggles which our elders went through in this country, yet we don't have those problems. We have everything to hand. And yet, when the third kind of people, when they have any kind of issue, without thinking about what is the solution, they start complaining about it. And when they start complaining about it, their heart rate goes up, their blood pressure goes up. I can't do this. I'm going to have problems. I can't do that. And this is a mentality of some people, where in fact we should look at, we have everything on plate. We have no problem at all. The main problem and difficulty was our pious predecessors, the companions of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and their family, the difficulties which they went through, and they gave this deen to us in the form which we have now. If we look at their struggles, their difficulties, and the problems they went through, it's nothing that we can do. Imagine if we had to do something of that nature.
Yeah.
How much problems will we face? We may find it difficult, but again, it comes down to your firm belief. If we have the firm belief in Allah Almighty, in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the whole teachings, then we would find things easy. Aspect is that how much truly strong faith do we have within ourselves?
Yeah.
And how can we obtain this strong faith? Is that we read the Quran. We understand what the Quran teaches us. It's the Kalam of Allah Almighty. The teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how they led the life, what sacrifices they went through. And if we can even do a bit of that, then inshallah we can be successful. But yet we give up. We give up too early. And when we give up, that's when the problems start occurring for us. Because without thinking about the solution, without thinking about what we should be doing and how things should be doing, what religion teaches us to do and how we should do things, we just take a step back and say, I can't do that, and we give up. We should never give up on things.
Ji, mashallah. Shahid bhai, very good points in the aspect of looking at the life of the Sahaba kiram, looking at the life of the pious predecessors, to understand that actually struggles in your pathway, in your life, on the journey of life, is actually a positive thing. Because if a person just has comforts upon comforts, he can't value anything. If a person has always had easy access to money, he cannot understand the situation of a poor person. He can't understand the situation of an orphan, or the needy, or the beggars. And this is what actually Islam tells us as well, that when difficulties will come your way, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. That we will definitely test you with some fear, with some hunger, with some deficiency of wealth, of lives and of fruits, and give glad tidings to those who are patient. And this Islam tells us this without a shadow of a doubt, that our life will be difficult. Do not have this idea that our life will go without any type of difficulty. We will face struggles, and Islam also tells us how to deal with them. And not only via theory, but practically, when we, via the Madani channel, look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, let us go to the prophetic life. And if we see how strange it was that the people for 40 years of the prophetic life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not object to him whatsoever. Rather, they loved him, they revered him, they respected him, they admired him, and they wished that their children would grow up to be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he announced his prophethood. But what changed? Why did the people of Arabia and the Arabian Peninsula, why did the Quraysh, why did the disbelievers, the polytheists, then begin to turn away and begin to despise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It wasn't due to his character, it wasn't due to his way of how he treated people. Rather, that is his moral conduct and his character is what inspired people. So today, when we really go to the, if you go and, as they say, don't brush under the carpet, but if you rather look very in the neat and fine print, why did the polytheists disbelieve? It was out of stubbornness. They knew that this man who has come with this message has never told a lie in his entire life. Before him announcing that I am a prophet of Allah, I am a warner, the punishment of Allah will come upon you as you are worshipping other than Allah. Now, before this announcement, not a single lie, even in the state of joking and jest, it was never seen in the prophetic life. And they knew and declared him as being trustworthy and truthful. The non-Muslims admired the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then what led to them persecuting, boycotting and harming the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was the message of Islam, the message of the one true creator, that we must turn back to worship our one true creator. Every prophet that has come onto this earth came with the same message of the oneness of Allah. People began to associate partners with Allah, and the prophets were sent by Allah to correct the ideology of society. And my dear viewers of Madani channel, when we look at the prophetic life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the first revelation, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to go to the Jabal-e-Hira, which is known as Jabal-e-Nur, the mountain of light, upon this mountain is Ghar-e-Hira, the cave of Hira. And now in this cave, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted seclusion from the people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to think, how can I sort out the affairs of my society? That they are now worshipping, and they have been worshipping for a number of years and centuries, other than Allah. How am I going to bring this about? How am I going to bring this change? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had dreams, had such good dreams which came to light, and the truthfulness of those dreams came to light very near in the future. But what happened? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got a message from Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, iqra, recite, read. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I will not read, Not I cannot read, but I will not read because I am busy already remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you telling me just to read? I don't need to be reading. I'm already performing an action where I'm devoting myself to remembering my Creator. So, but when Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he embraced the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then upon insisting, then he said, "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," and continuing the first few verses of Surah Al-Alaq, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to recite. But when this message came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came back to his home. Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra, the blessed wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then comforted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet said, cover me, and the Prophet ﷺ was covered with a cloak by Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, the first female to accept Islam and the best support of the Prophet ﷺ. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the entire situation to his blessed wife radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she said, "Your Creator Allah, He will not forsake you, as you are a just individual. You look after the rights of the people. You carry the burden of those who are unable to carry their own burden. You are trustworthy, you are truthful." These were the words of the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was taken with his blessed wife to her cousin, who was known as Waraqa bin Nawfil, and he was a man of the previous scripture. He had studied the previous scriptures. He knew the information in them. And then he told and he said, "I see the signs within you," after hearing the entire account of what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Waraqa bin Nawfil heard, he said that, "You are the final Prophet of Allah, and I believe in you, and I hope that I live long enough to embrace faith in you and to see that your people will drive you out of your own city." And the Prophet was surprised, he was shocked, and he said, "My people will do this to me." And Waraqa bin Nawfil said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this will take place. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that difficulties and struggles are going to come. This was the first account where this became apparent from Waraqa bin Nawfil, a man from the previous scriptures. And my dear viewers of Madinah, this was the beginning of the struggles of Islam. And we're going to go on further, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the Sahaba kiram, they went through difficulty upon difficulty. And one, I'll just quickly mention that the Kufar in Makkah, they knew that they couldn't openly attack and take the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was from the tribe of Hashim, the Banu Hashim tribe, and he was a well-known tribe, very very respectable and very wealthy tribe, and they were well known. So if they were to openly attack, then obviously defense would take place, even if they did not believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but just because he is a part of their tribe. So they knew they could not do this. So what did the disbelievers do? They sent children after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to call out foul words and names and bad titles to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the struggles of Islam, the struggles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced. Different wording which I can't even mention upon my tongue, and Allah mentions them in the Holy Quran, the wordings of how the disbelievers would address the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would taunt him, they would physically abuse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's difficult to hear as Muslims, but we need to remember this. Have we forgotten how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sacrificed himself for the deen? And he told his companions that this difficulty will come. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, inshallah throughout the program I will expand and we will listen to more points on the prophetic life of how much difficulty the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. And now just coming back onto our Muballighin, Wasim bhai, again continuing on this particular topic, take this further inshallah al-Kareem.
Brother Shabib bhai, regarding the majority of us who are watching at this moment in time as well, we were born into Muslim households. We've got, alhamdulillah, this is a blessing as well. Alhamdulillah, we were born into a Muslim household, and you know, in other words, we did not have those difficulties that you are mentioning. If you look at the Sahaba Ikram, some of the immense difficulties that they went through, I would just like to mention here. That if you just look at Hazrat Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala, so much difficulties. Now, Bilal Shabir, you know, in a couple of months' time, it's going to get really warm in the UK. Last year, it was about 41 degrees. And, you know, you see people, how they were in these particular temperatures. But Hazrat Bilal al-Habshi, they used to make him lie down on the deserts of Arabia.
Allah.
And they used to say to him, denounce, 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 meaning say that you don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even in that difficult time, when 40, 50, 60 degrees, and he was on the deserts of Arabia, even at that time he used to say, ahad, ahad, ahad. This was their level of taqwa, this was their level of sacrifice, this was their level of belief as well, their
iman,
level of
mashallah.
Iman as well. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, he has a even at that time, they used to say ahad. And this is the story of many Sahaba Kiram, that so much difficulty, so much power. And this is exactly why they had to migrate and they went to Medina to Munawwara. So they went through immense problems. Now, if we question ourselves today, we read our namaz. For example, I was speaking to someone today. You are at work, and you tell your manager, maybe he's not Muslim, you tell your manager that I need to pray. There's hardly any instances that you find in today's day and age where, no, you can't pray. Where even today's day and age, what do they say to you? Even though they don't pray, they're not Muslim, but what do you say? Okay, we'll give you this room dedicated for you to read your namaz. But if you look at the Sahaba Kiram, just to practice their deen, they went through these immense problems. And we've got everything easy. People say today that, brother, there's a masjid opening on every corner. Alhamdulillah, there's a masjid opening on every corner. But the question is, we've got a masjid on our corner. When's the last time that we actually went to read namaz? So these are questions that we need to ask ourselves, that the Sahaba Kiram, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went through immense problems. They went through huge problems. It's mentioned about one Sahabi Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you know when he lifted his shawl, and it's mentioned the Sahaba Kiram, they seen injuries on his back. They asked him, what's this? He goes, that when I accepted Islam, this is what the people of Makkah, they did to me at that particular time. So they went through enough immense problems at that particular time. So this is a learning curve for all of us, Bilal Shabir Bhai.
Yes.
So sometimes we hear about this, we don't give it value, but it's because of their sacrifices that today, alhamdulillah, we say we are Muslim. Alhamdulillah, we're Muslim. Why? It's because they gave the sacrifices. And after the Sahaba Kiram, many pious people, which inshallah we will continue to discuss, they made the sacrifices. And this is why we're very, very easy today. One point that I would like to mention here regarding knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, it's mentioned about the Sahaba Kiram. Today we've got everything very easy, Bilal Shabib Bhai. You open up Dawat Islami's website, there is so much material. Alhamdulillah, there is so much tafsir, there is so much hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned about the Sahaba Kiram that after the apparent passing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to travel country to country. Why? To learn one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to travel from one country to another country. It's mentioned about example that I would like to give you is one student of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. This great student of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh. It's mentioned he actually used to live in Spain, and it's mentioned that because he had this desire to study with Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, what actually happened? He decided. He took the step and he traveled from Spain all the way to Iraq. Now, it's not today's journey. You know, you don't catch a plane, you get there in the morning, you get there within 4 or 5 hours. No. Meaning, you have to cross a whole continent. And it's mentioned that he finally reached Iraq. He went to one masjid, he asked the Imam Sahib, so what do you think about Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh? He goes, there is no one more knowledgeable than Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh at this moment in time. He goes, okay, where can I find him? Then now, what happened is, when they told the address, this student, he reached the house of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. But at that time, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, he was under house arrest. So he knocked the door. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he said, that, who are you? He goes, I've traveled all the way from Spain, and I've come to study with you. I want to study because I heard that you're most knowledgeable person. I want to study in your company. He goes, it's not possible. Why? Because I'm under house arrest, it's not possible. Now, this student, Bilal Shabir Bhai, if he was us today, okay, any excuse, no problem. Madini Ghaflat Council, you know, that's it, no problem. But this student of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, what actually happened? He came up with an idea. He said to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, that, look, you're under house arrest. I understand. You can't teach me the way I want you to teach me. But what I'm going to do from tomorrow onwards, I am going to dress as a beggar, and I am going to come, and I am going to knock on your door every single day.
Allah.
Instead of giving me money, I want you to teach me one hadith of the Prophet. And it's mentioned, this carried on for such a period of time that this particular student, he learned hundreds of hadiths of the Prophet from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi. Look at his dedication. Look at his passion to seek Islamic knowledge. Today we've got everything. And then it's mentioned that once this house arrest was lifted eventually, it's mentioned there were thousands of students who used to study with Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi. And it's mentioned that this particular student, he used to be given honor. He used to give me respect due to his sacrifice. But this is something for us to learn. The point that I want to come to is, look, they traveled from one continent to the next continent. Why? To study one hadith of the Prophet. Today we've got it so easy, Bilal bhai. We don't even have to leave our homes. You know, you have to leave your home. Even if you have to leave your home, your local Sunni masjid, your Ashikan Rasul masjid is close by. And alhamdulillah, we've got access to so many things. If you look at Dawat Islami's website, this is something that I would like to come on at this moment in time. Dawat Islami is making it so easy for people that to seek Islamic knowledge, Dawat Islami has got 40-50 courses that you can study online. What are these courses? And when are these courses taking place? Anytime. You're free at 1 o'clock in the morning. You finish work at 1 o'clock. You're free at 1 o'clock. A teacher will be ready to teach you at 1 o'clock in the morning, inshallah. That's how things have become easy. But the question is, look, where we've got so much now easy access, the question is how much are we coming forward? If you look at Dawat Islami's website, Bilal Shabib, you know, sometimes when we're writing messages, and for example, yesterday the topic was about anger. And I had to find a hadith about anger to put in a message to send out to the public. It was just easy. Just put anger, Dawat Islami, there were so many narrations that I could find. So the point that I want to mention is, look, they had to travel so much. They had to give immense sacrifices to learn about Islam. My request to all the viewers of Madani Channel, including myself as well, is everything's become easy today. Enroll on one of these courses. There's so much books available. They used to have to travel to learn one hadith. You buy one book from Maktabatul Madina, there will be so many hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that book. So my request to all the viewers of Madani Channel is that there is so much opportunity at this moment in time to seek Islamic knowledge. These narrations that we will read, our Sahaba Ikram traveled country to country to learn them. They're very easy for us. So it's a humble request, inshallah, Azawajal. This should motivate us to at least seek Islamic knowledge, inshallah, Azawajal, to follow the life of the pious people, inshallah, Azawajal.
MashaAllah, it's a very beautiful point that the struggles of Islam, no doubt, and the struggles for Islam that Muslims of the past did do. The Sahaba Ikram, without doubt, were the examples. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led by example. But then after them, the Tabi'un, the Atba'u Tabi'een, they came and they also showed to us that, you know, difficulty and struggle must be taken. If you want to achieve something, you have to go through difficulty. You can't expect something to just come to your plate, and even to eat food, you have to struggle to lift up the food and put it into your mouth. Allahu Akbar. We live in such a strange age that brothers and youngsters think that we can acquire and we can get something very easily with very little effort. Whereas the quality of that thing, the value of that thing will be reduced in your eyes. You won't understand the value of this. Just like, unfortunately, the state of our iman today. And if we just summarize, why did they sacrifice everything and why don't we sacrifice everything? It's the iman. Their iman was so strong. Their belief is so strong, and now our iman has become so weak. Our iman, because of how much of media and wrong and misusage of media that we are absorbing, this is having an effect on our heart. It's having an effect upon our iman. We're not studying our deen any longer. So then when this happens, no doubt we're not going to be inclined towards these things. So we need to go to the root problem, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. That's weakness of faith. Again, our belief has not become strong. So we need to, again, how can we strengthen this? By studying our deen. And inshallah, throughout the program, we're going to try as best as possible within the time limit to mention more about the struggles for Islam. Going on to inshallah, Shahid Bhai. Ji Shahid Bhai.
Rabbi, I'd just like to mention one of the pious predecessors, one of the saints, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
The struggle, what they did and how they went, it's astonishing when we read their biography of how they were. Let me just mention one incident. Once, there's so much love for the worship of these. They said that once they were offering their salah in the Jamia Masjid, when a snake came and opened his mouth.
Allah.
And at the same time, Sheikh Abdul Qadir was going to perform a sajda. Pushing the snake away, they performed the sajda. But the snake wrapped himself around the neck of Ghazi Azam Ramdullah Alayhi.
Allah.
He then went into his sleeve from one and came out of the other. When he finished, the snake had disappeared. Just on that aspect, just imagine if there's something in front of us when we're reading namaz.
A spider or a fly.
A spider, a fly, even a mouse or a cat. What would be our situation? How would we react?
Allah.
The next day, when they went to the masjid, where they saw a big-eyed man, Ghazi Azam realized that this was a normal man. But in fact, it's a jinn.
Mm.
The jinn then told Ghazi Azam that he was the same snake that had bothered him the night before.
Allah.
The jinn says that in the form of snake, he had tested a lot of friends of Allah Almighty, but none of them were steadfast as Ghazi Azam.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
And having said that, the jinn, he then repented. And he repented of his misdeeds in the court of Ghazi Azam. And these are, these personalities, Bladway, who had such strong, firm belief and practicing deen as well. And as I mentioned that, if our situation is something like that, a spider or a mouse or something comes in there, and we're forming our namaz, we probably move away from there. Our concentration will be completely gone. But look how they were. Their concentration was such that they knew that they are in the court of Allah Almighty. They are doing the performance of namaz,
Allah,
which is obligatory. And yet they didn't move at all. They just continued their worship. The level of concentration. And they had so much trust in Allah Almighty. The sacrifices, they left their homeland, left their mom, and went to the jungles, traveled on the kafilas to seek what? Knowledge.
Knowledge of the deen.
And because of their honesty, how they were, when they were on the kafila, their mother had sewn some money onto their clothes. And when the robbers asked them, that, have you got anything? They told them the truth. They said, yes. And the robber said, what? We didn't find it. Why did you not hide it from us? So my mom told me never to lie.
Subhanallah.
Never to lie. What is our situation today? Someone knocks on the door. If such person is coming to ask for me, just say, dad is asleep. Or say he's not home. This is our situation.
And they will say, and you know the child, because they're so naive, they will say, my dad told me to tell you I'm not home.
Yeah, my dad said he's asleep, so I can't wake him up.
Allah.
This is our state. We are teaching our children how to lie. We are teaching our children the wrong aspects. Yet we should be teaching our children, do not lie. If people stop lying and spoke the truth, many problems can be solved.
Beshak.
A lot of problems happen because
of lying.
Lying.
Yeah.
A person lies to cover one lie, they have to lie again. To cover the second one, they have to lie again. And it comes to such an extent that a person will not know how many lies he said and what he said to one person and what he said to another person.
Allah.
And you get caught out at the end.
Yeah.
Therefore, if we spoke the truth in every aspect, a lot of our problems, a lot of our stress issues will go away. And we need to follow these such personalities if we really want to succeed in things.
MashaAllah, Shahid Bhai, very, very beautiful point, and for all of us to ponder over is also the state of our salah. Again, it comes back to the same point of our attachment to our deen. How much do we actually give preference to our deen of Islam? We look at the pious predecessors, they did business as well. The great Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, we mentioned Imam Malik, we mentioned all the pious people, Ghawse Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, they went through so much difficulty. But they also did act upon the deen in the true sense, that they kept the dunya as well, so that they can get through and get by this life. So this is something that we need to understand, that what is our level within our prayers? What's the level of our concentration in our prayers? And like you mentioned, the waqiyah of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, it's really amazing at such a young age. But then obviously, Sultanul Awliya, people will always try to say other things, that, oh, they were on a different level to us. And just to get out of self-accountability, people will say, oh, they were at this level, you're comparing us to them. Ma'azallah, they are our role models. We're meant to look up to them as for guidance, not to say, oh, they are such a pedestal we can't reach. Okay, they are at such a pedestal, maybe we would definitely not be able to reach. But they are meant to be an aspirational goal and target, not something to be like, oh, let's put it to one side, we can't relate to them. They didn't live a life just for that reason.
Beloved, just on that aspect, people may think, well, that was in those days. But today's society is completely different. But if we look at Amiri al-Sunnah, friends of Dawud Salami, look at their life. Simplicity, falling on every aspect of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran, everything. Look at their life. Example in this day and age where we say, well, it's difficult for us. They are amongst us. And look at their way of life.
The problem is, Shaykh, that I think we as a whole, as a society, whether Muslims or non-Muslims, just the general human race, have become too affiliated with comfort. That we don't really know what hardship is. And this is in the general sense, especially within our youth. We don't know what it means to work hard anymore. And just, mashallah, speaking and looking at the life of these pious people, we will understand that there is an aspect. If a person wants to attain a particular rank, he knows he needs to work hard. You will never be able to attain true success without hard work. And this is the way Islam has taught us as well. These pious people of Allah memorizing millions of ahadith. Imam Malik had memorized a million ahadith off by heart. With their sanad, with their chain of narrators. He didn't just do this in one sitting and that's it. Rather, it was years and years of effort. So we need to understand, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, struggle for Islam, we need to continue this. Remember, for the truth to stay within society, there needs to be courageous people. There needs to be people who are going to stand up for the truth and not succumb to society and, you know, corruption. Islam does not allow us to sit on the sidelines when corruption is being spread. If that was the case, then why did Sayyidina Imam Hussein leave and take his family to the plains of Karbala? If it was fine, if corruption was fine, if just saying yes to the person who has most power and authority is fine, then why did Sayyidina Imam Hussein leave his home, leave the city in which he was born in, and the city of his blessed grandfather? Why? It was to protect the deen, to stand up for the truth. We love to hear this. We love the theory, but the practical, when will it come? And if we don't stand up for the truth, then how will we expect our children and future generations to do so? Children see, children do. Children will actually only act upon whatever they see. You tell them a million times, they won't listen. But when they see you doing something, then the children will eventually do what they see. So you need to understand, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, and we all need to understand, youngsters, elders alike, that we need to work together. And inshallah, now we will move on to our package that we have ready.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, today I want us to think about how much our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would remember us, and I want us to compare that to how much do we remember our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came into this world, on his blessed lips was Rabbi habli ummati, oh my Lord, forgive my ummah. Then throughout his life, we see in the blessed seerah of his sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would constantly think about his ummah, he would constantly think about me and you. And then on the blessed night of the Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remembered us on that day as well. At the time of the divine sight and receiving special favors, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam remembered his ummah, he remembered me and you. Then even when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being lowered into his blessed grave, the blessed companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, or some of the blessed companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they saw that the blessed lips of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were moving. And they mentioned, we put our faces close to the blessed lips of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we could hear, ummati, ummati. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even when he was being lowered into his blessed grave, was remembering us, he was remembering me and you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came into this world, was remembering me and you. Throughout his blessed life, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was remembering me and you. And then at the time of his physical demise from this world, at the time of being lowered into his blessed grave, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam was remembering me and you. And not even then, if we carry on to the Day of Judgment, we see the mother will run from the son will run from the mother, the father will run from the son will run from the father. Everyone will run away from each other on that day. On that day, there will be one personality, one blessed personality, who will say, I am here for you. And that is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not forget us during his blessed birth. Throughout his blessed life, whilst he was being lowered into his blessed grave, even on the Day of Judgment, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not forget us. But now think about us the other way around. How long do we spend in a day thinking of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? how much time do we spend reciting durood upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the answer for many of us will be quite shocking and saddening. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow us to increase in our salutations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, increase in his remembrance sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and give us a passion for following his sunnah. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The companion Sayyidina Abi Bakra radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated, I was walking along with the merciful Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was holding my hand and another man was on the left of him. We came across two graves upon which the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam informed us, both of them in the graves are being tormented and they are not being tormented due to something major. Which one of you would bring me a branch? We both tried to precede each other and I beat him in bringing back a branch. Then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the intercessor of Ummah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, broke it along the length in two halves, planted one on each grave and declared, the torment of both will be reduced till these branches dry out and they are being punished because of backbiting and urine. Allahu Akbar. Dear Islamic brother, did you see that the two causes of the torment of the grave are committing backbiting and not protecting oneself from the droplets of urine? Our weak bodies cannot even bear a minor scratch, a prick of a thorn, the heat of the sun, or a mild fever. Allah Azza wa Jal, we seek your forgiveness from the impurity of the droplets of urine on our clothes or body, and we repent from backbiting, telltaling, and all major and minor sins. O Allah Azza wa Jal, be eternally pleased with us and grant us forgiveness without any accountability. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Now we'll go to our Faiz Rasul bhai, inshallah, to bless us with the kalam.
Murade mil rahi hai shad shadun ka suwali hai labon par iltija hai haath mein roze ki jali
ہے نہ تم سا کو
Views of Madani Channel, we only have a few minutes left. The final messages from our Muballighin, inshallah.
Bilal Shabir Bhai, regarding today, we can't do justice to this particular topic because it's so vast. But one thing that I would just like to mention regarding the struggles for Islam. Look, today we've just briefly heard about some of the struggles for Islam, and we haven't even gone into detail. One of the requests I have for myself, for all the ones on the panel, and for all the viewers on Madani Channel is, look, what are we doing? These blessed individuals, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba kiram, the pious individuals, they gave so much sacrifices for Islam. Yeah. What are we doing today? And this is where I have one request. Alhamdulillah, like Shahid Bhai beautifully touched upon earlier on, the Amir al-Sunnah Damat Furqatum Ali's life is example in front of us. Yeah. That one individual, 42 years ago, he started this organization of Dawat Islam. He struggled for Islam, meaning that he was living in a poor environment, and basically at times he used to go for speeches. There used to be no transport, he used to sleep on the roads.
Allah.
That's Amir al-Sunnah. And this is why Dawat Islami has grown so far. Dawat Islami has grown so big that it's one of the biggest organizations of the world at this moment in time. So one request, that look, the platform of Dawat-e-Islami is here. My request to all those that are watching, join Dawat-e-Islami, attach yourself with Dawat-e-Islami, and let's do the work of Deen. This particular organization, if you join this organization, it becomes so easy at times to do the work of Deen, alhamdulillah. So my request is that there are so many opportunities in the environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Try to attend yourself, try to invite others, try to be partake in the works of Dawat-e-Islami, so we can at least, we can't do much, but at least we put our share for the works of Dawat-e-Islami and for the work of Deen, inshallah.
MashaAllah, very beautiful points. Shahid
bhai. Just one short message, Bilal bhai, is that to the viewers of Madani Channel, don't leave any good deed due to any difficulty.
Allah.
Because the difficulty will go, the good deed will remain.
SubhanAllah. Beautiful.
And MashaAllah, don't commit any sin due to neesmat.
Allah.
Because the neesmat will go and you have problems.
Allah.
But that sin you commit is going to remain with you. And you'll be accountable. So prioritize what's right for you and make sure you don't give up any good deeds, any actions that will help you for the hereafter, regardless whatever difficulty you may face.
SubhanAllah. Very beautiful Madani pearls from our Muballighin. May Allah grant us the ability to study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, there is a booklet of Dawat-e-Islami known as the Brief Biography of the Last and Final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a short booklet on the brief biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a book to read. There's also a 2-volume book on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, known as Siratul Mustafa. It's in Urdu. It's also available in English by our Sunni ulama, and it's something that one we should read, because the content of today's program was directly from those books. Because how else are we going to know the struggles for Islam if we do not read the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If we do not teach our children the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how difficult it was for Muslims, and how much ease we have today. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, let us understand how important this topic is, and we need to stand up for the work of the Deen. We have to struggle for the Deen. How else will the work of Deen and the Deen further progress? We need strong Islamic brothers and Islamic sisters who are dedicated for this cause, inshallah al-Kareem, so that they themselves are educated and they can teach their children and loved ones and family members the true message of Islam, so that people can understand what actually happened and how Islam has come to reach this great success that it has. And remember, it is through constant struggle, constant efforts by those ulama, those Sunni ulama and scholars of the religion, those families, those women and mothers that sacrificed their comforts in order to protect the Deen of Islam. We too, as Muslims, need to fill in this role as well. But we must seek knowledge of the Deen and attach yourself with this beautiful environment of Dawat Islami, so that we can understand our Deen in the correct way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and preserve you, and may we continue to serve the Deen of Islam with sincerity, and may we protect this beautiful Deen of Islam with our lives. Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep watching Madani Channel. The path of